I hope this evening that you have brought your Bibles and that you are ready to open them as we study together. If you're listening by way of radio, I hope that you will find a Bible close by you so that you may open it and study together as well. If not, I hope that you will at least write these things down and study them further. In athletics, we applaud it. In academics, we award it. In character, we admire it. In craftsmanship, we pay extra for it. In entertainment, we flock to it. In business, we promote it. In death, we eulogize it. In Christianity, we strive for it. What am I talking about? Excellence. God delights in excellent saints, is the message of Psalm 16, verse number 3. One of these days, He will award excellence. In the presence of everybody we've ever met and everybody we've never met, we shall have praise of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 5. But what will God be looking for in the one to whom He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. What will He be looking for in those to whom He will say that to? I believe it is seen in what He will say to them. So let us study further Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 21 as we pursue excellence. A person who excels must do. God will not say, "Well said," "Well thought," "Well supervised," or "Well criticized." He will say, "Well done." The Bible is a book about doing. The New Testament, some 589 times, the words "do," "deed," "deeds," or "done" occur in reference to doing something for God, more than twice per chapter. James wrote in James chapter 1 and verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." God is willing and able to bless those who take the appropriate action to do that which needs to be done. Question then is, are we doers of the work? A Chinese proverb says, "Be first in the field and the last to the couch," meaning to be the first one to begin work and the last one to rest. A clockmaker philosophized, "Take a lesson from the clock. It passes the time by keeping its hands busy." Remember, a mosquito doesn't get a slap on the back until he begins to work. And so it is. A person that desires to excel in God's eyes must find something to do. Now that brings about two considerations that need attention. First and foremost, what needs to be done? And secondly, what am I capable of doing? As you look around the congregation and the facilities, ask yourself what needs to be done. Is there something that needs fixing? Is there something or someone being neglected? Acts chapter 6, neglected widows were one of the first church problems, and it was really not anyone's fault. It was just oversight because we are humans. Does a class need a teacher? Is there a resource room, a pantry, or a classroom that needs to be organized and well kept for the duration? Does a bulletin board need changing? Does a track rack need to be filled? Or is there a room that's in need of just a good old cleaning out? Is there someone who needs encouragement? Or two who need reconciling? Is there a lost soul that needs to be admonished and taught further? Or a wayward soul that needs admonishing? Are there correspondence courses that need mailing? Is there any number of things that need to be done? It's easy to see that there is work on every hand. work to be done, and anyone can find something to do if, and that's a big if they are interested. And thus the second question, what am I capable of doing? Not everyone is qualified to do everything, either in ability or in opportunity. But the way to find out what we are able to do is to try to do those things which need to be done. If we try something, and after trying it, we feel that we're just not cut out for it, then we can try something else. The main thing is that we have a desire to do something for God. When we have that desire to do something for God, then the what of what can I do will take care of itself. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 12 has something very important to say about this matter. When it says, "For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have." Each Christian is to put forth the effort to do what he or she is capable of doing. A person who excels must do. A person who excels must do well. The verb is modified by an adverb. Well done, God says. This indicates that whatever we do, we should do it well. Andrew Carnegie ventured to say, "The average person puts 25% of his energy and ability into his work. What then of the 75%? It is easy to half-heartedly fulfill an assignment, but it takes diligence to do our very best. And God deserves whatever we do for Him, whether it be preaching a sermon or changing a light bulb or teaching a Bible class or cleaning the building. Whatever it is that we do it well. In fact, He will not accept less." Solomon said or commanded in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 10, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Give it your all." Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah chapter 48 verse number 10, "Cursed is he who does the work of the Lord deceitfully, negligently," says the American Standard Version, "and cursed is he who keeps back his sword from blood." The verse does not say, cursed is the one that does wickedness, or even cursed is the one that does not the work of the Lord. It curses the one who does the work of the Lord, but does it negligently, in a hit and miss fashion. God rejected the people in Malachi's day, not because they did not offer sacrifices, but because they gave him less than the very best. Malachi chapter 1 and verse number 8. "And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts." When God had finished his work, he said it was very good. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 31. He gave us the very best that he had to offer. Jesus did all things well. Mark chapter 7 verse 37. Following in the footsteps of his Father. Christ commanded us to go the second mile. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41. And God instructed us to love with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38. Mark 12, verse 30. This covers every way that we would serve Him. Devotionally, worshipfully, mentally, and physically. So whether it comes down to me praying in my closet, singing Amazing Grace Sunday morning, doing my daily Bible reading, or mowing the churchyard, the teaching of the Scripture should be clear. I must give it my all as I serve God. Look with me at Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, we find a situation concerning the woman who was at Bethany who anointed Jesus. And it's very telling of the things concerning those who do and those who do well. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 3. "And being at Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, As he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil and spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. The sad fact is that many who are doing are criticized by those who are just sitting around watching. They criticize them because of the decisions which they make concerning what they have and the tools which are at their resource to use and how they use it. They did in this case concerning this woman at Bethany, but more important than that criticizing is what Jesus had to say in verse 6 and following. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do good to them. But me you do not always have. She has done what she could do. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial for her." Let her alone. She has done what she could. Many people are striving to do what they can with what they have, and that's what God requires of all. Paul said, "As much as is in me," he vowed that he would preach the gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. He was ready to do whatever needed to be done as best that he could. According to Philemon, verse 21, just being one chapter in length, Paul trusted that Philemon would do even more than Paul requested of him concerning Onesimus. I think Paul understood that Philemon had the mindset that Christ would have us to have. He's going to do the very best he can with what he has. He's going to do more than what is to be expected. Harry S. Truman said on one occasion, "I found that the men and women who got to the top were those who did the jobs they had in hand with everything they had of energy and enthusiasm and hard work." Quoting Charles Kendall Adams, "No one attains very eminent success by simply doing what is required of him. It is the amount and excellence of what is over and above the required that determines the greatness of ultimate distinction." A person who excels must do well. A person who excels must be good. Well done, good and faithful servant. The word translated good, agathos, is found 106 times in the New Testament. It is found, for instance, in the parable of the sower, which gives us some indication of what Jesus means by the word. He said in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." He used it again in Luke chapter 10 and verse 42 when he said, "Mary chose the good part," which included interest in spiritual sustenance over physical service. It was also used of Jesus in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17 where Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one. That is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." From this, we may infer that to be good is to be godly. They are derivatives in English, of course, of the same word. To be good is to be godly, and we were only good people in so much as our goodness comes in line with what God's view of goodness is. The more godly we are, the more God would consider us to truly be good. Thus, to be like God is to be a loving person. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8, a very short verse, but a very powerful one nonetheless. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. The very nature of God is love. God is a spirit, John 4, verse 24. God is light, 1 John 1, verse 5. God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12, verse 29. And so when it is said that God is love, it means that He is love in all that He does. Everything which He does shows forth His true entity, His true being, which is totally and completely good. The way of love is, after all, the more excellent way, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 31. To be like God is to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. Be holy, for I am holy. Sacred, pure, blameless, consecrated. And the only way in which we can be that is to be in Christ and to become godly. Being godly makes one a good person. Not the deeds which they do, but their being like God is what makes them good. Jesus promised in John chapter 5, verse 28 and verse 29, all who are in the graves will hear His voice and will come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Thus a very wise person strives to be good and to do good things because they are good. Because they are like God and they are showing it to others. A person who excels must be good. A person who excels must do. A person who excels must do well. And a person who excels must be good. Lord willing, next Sunday morning, we will continue our study of excellence and examination of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. In the meantime, I ask you to remember the words of Psalm 16 and verse number 3. Psalm 16 and verse number 3, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Can it be said this evening that God delights in me? Can it be said this evening that God delights in you? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 5 reads, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. Would God award and praise us for excellence? If called before the Creator as you are right now, would you hear your sentencing to be, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 21. Would that be your sentencing? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? John chapter 3 and verse 16. Are you willing to turn away from the sin which you so willingly commit? Luke 13:3, Romans chapter 2 verse 4. Are you willing to confess with your mouth before men that Jesus is the Son of God? Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Are you willing to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Are you willing to live a life of service to God? doing and doing well, walking in the light, 1 John 1, verse 7 through 9, until death, Revelation 2 and verse 10, or until He comes again. If you're willing to do those things, then why not respond in obedient faith to Him this evening? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready for your sentencing to be given? A sentence that will be lived out through eternity. It is my prayer and my hope that all who are here this evening and hear this message will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And this evening, you have the opportunity, if you are unprepared, to get prepared by responding in obedient faith to the commands of Christ to receive the gift of eternal life. And if it stands in your need this evening to respond to Him, to put Christ on in baptism, to have those sins washed away, we implore you to come. If you stand in need of forgiveness as a Christian who has allowed things to come between you and God, we invite you as well to come and have those sins forgiven as we seek that forgiveness from God. May we stand and may we sing.